continuing our journeys into Perek Dalet in Hilchot Deot. We're going to sort of fly through some of this because on the one hand I want you to at least have seen it, but I want you to recognize, you know, my plan is not to get into a whole discussion about why different food items or different ideas are healthy or not healthy for you, okay? But just to sort of be able to follow through, all right? So we said, if I'm not mistaken, we last looked at Halacha Dalet, and we left you with a question. Because in Halacha Dalet it says, Hayom v'alayla 24 shaot, right? There are 24 hours in the day, and a person should sleep 8 hours. And I told you that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that the best time for learning is at night. And a person shouldn't waste his night sleeping, but rather apply himself to the study of Torah as much as he's able. So how do you jive those two things? Here it's very clear, right? Dailo ladam lishon shlishan, right? A person, you know, it's enough to sleep 8 hours, and that's what a person should sleep. And yet over there it says that a person should, you know...
Sleep
during the day. Pardon? Nope, that is definitely not what the Rambam says. Nice try. Definitely not. As a matter of fact, the Rambam specifically says a person should not sleep during the day. He says it's very unhealthy. People who have night jobs and they're up all night and sleep during the day get all sorts of health problems. Not healthy. You're supposed to be awake during the day. The light has an impact on you. Sunlight has an impact on you. A person should sleep in darkness. They've actually done studies that discover that if you have lights in your room when you sleep, it's not healthy for you. There are chemicals that aren't released enough in the brain that get released in darkness. You're supposed to try to cover all the lights when you go to sleep. That's a whole other discussion. But yeah, Nu, what do you think? You understand the question?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Clear contradiction, right? What do you think? Not complicated.
There are two ideals, and you can't have both of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you should sleep 8 hours. It says it's enough to sleep 8 hours. So I guess if you don't, it's not, you know, the worst thing in the world.
But no, but he says a person should sleep 8 hours. Like, that's healthy.
You should sleep 8 hours, but not more.
Pardon? Right. But over there, he clearly says, you should, do you have a Rambam Chelek Aleph here, somebody? Is that a Rambam? Hang on. Let's take a look. Where?
Top left. Top left.
Well, let's see if there's Hechos Talmud Torah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that's not. That's from Rav Metal. Let me see if I can find this. Here. Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Gimel. Afal pisha mitzvah lilmod bayom uvalayla. Even though it's a mitzvah to learn day and night. Ein adam lamed rov chachmato ala balayla. Most of your wisdom you learn at night. Okay? 2 hours in the Beis Medrash at night is worth 4 during the day. Pshat. Lefichach mishu etzal diskot b'keter Torah. Whoever wants to merit the crown of Torah. It's not just sort of... You with us? Right? Not just everything, okay? Yeah. Not just sort of exploring Torah, but becoming one with Torah, immersing yourself in Torah, becoming a Ben Torah, what they call, right? Yizaher b'chol leilotav v'lo yaved afilo achat mehen b'sheina v'achila, v'shtiyah, v'sicha. A person shouldn't waste his nights and lose his nighttime learning time and sleep, and eat, and drink, and schmoozing, right? You should learn Torah. Ela b'talmud Torah v'divrei chokhmah. Amru chachamim ein, right? V'chol ha'osek b'torah b'alayla achut shel chesed nimshach alav b'yom. And a person who learns Torah at night, loving kindness flows from him during the day. V'chol bayit she'ein divrei Torah nishmein bo b'alayla esho chalto. A house that doesn't have words of Torah at night, fire consumes it, in other words. You bring Torah into your life, you put Torah into your home, especially at night, it gives you a sense of peace during the day. So how do you balance these two things, yeah?
Well, I don't know if this is the route we want to take, but I think you may be writing to two different audiences in Hilchot Talmud Torah and Hilchot Deot. I think in Hilchot Talmud Torah, you might be writing to an audience that's assumed to already have kind of brought all Hilchot Deot into their life and already has a lot of balance and then is looking kind of towards the next step. And once you have this kind of foundation, then you can kind of decide what's your personal balance. So if you've gotten to a stage where you've figured out a balance for you in terms of sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and you can figure out that you can learn more Torah at night,
mm-hmm.
then once you're there, it's not as big of a contradiction.
I think you're close. Pardon?
Why is...
What do you mean in Perek Aleph? You mean in the first book?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think you're close, but I don't think you're quite right. I don't think he's speaking to two different audiences. I think he's speaking, by the way, you can say, and there's a big debate about this, that the Rambam speaks to two different audiences in regards to the different books that he writes. Big discussions whether the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide to Perplex, is addressed to the same audience as, you know, the Mishneh Torah, his book of Halacha. But I don't think he would say that within the same book of Halacha. However, the Rambam is speaking to one audience, but he's recognizing that that audience can choose different things. And you don't have to look very far. Now, not that I'm chas v'shalom judging, but just to be realistic. Okay? How many people here sleep 8 hours a night? Okay. The time that you don't sleep in the night, how much of that time is immersed in Talmud Torah? Or maybe I'll go a stage further. If you don't sleep 8 hours a night, is the time that you're not sleeping at night directed to the pursuit of Torah? That's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, a person should sleep 8 hours a night. If you're going to learn Torah, though, the ultimate goal, what you accomplish in terms of your soul and what it does for you as a person and how the world benefits from you spending your nights in Torah, is worth the fact that you're doing something that essentially is not the healthy ideal. Right? There are things in this world that allow a person to sleep less. Mitzvot, army, whatever. And one of them is Talmud Torah. The problem is not the people who don't sleep 8 hours a night because they're learning Torah. The problem is the people who don't sleep 8 hours a night because they're doing all sorts of other things. That's what the Rambam is saying. So the Rambam starts with Hilchot Deot because he says you have to find balance in your life. If you're sleeping 3 hours a night because you're out cruising the bars, something's wrong. But that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get, when you're not getting 8 hours of sleep a night because you can't leave the base medrash, because you can't put down a sefer of Torah, then you've reached a place that's worth reaching. Does that make sense? Right? I think one of the things that's worth asking yourself when you wake up in the morning is, how many hours did I sleep? How tired do I feel? And why did I sleep the amount of time that I slept? As if I didn't get enough sleep because I was doing something worthwhile, then at least, you know, you feel better about not being, about being exhausted during the day. That becomes a question. Most people don't even ask that question, right? And that brings us to halacha hei. So we're going to fly through some of these halachot. Lo yishan adam, lo al panav v'lo al erpo el al tido. The Rambam seemed to believe that a person can decide. Right? This is a whole different level of discipline. I don't know. Most people have a natural position that they sleep in, and that's how they're comfortable, and they're used to it. But what if the natural position that you sleep in is actually unhealthy for you? You know, I know somebody who sleeps, and he somebody I'm close with who sleeps, and the way he sleeps is in such a way that it's just not healthy for his back. You could see it's unhealthy for his back. So I told him once, like, you know, I mean, but he can't change the way he sleeps because that's his habit. And sure enough now, like 20 years later, he has back problems, right? So Rambam says you can discipline yourself to sleep a way that's healthy. He says you're not supposed to sleep on your stomach, and you're not supposed to sleep on your back, you're supposed to sleep on your side. You should sleep at the beginning of the night on your left side, and at the end of the night on the right side. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea how a person can plan this. The Rambam must have been a very disciplined person, right? But at least as a goal, there's a certain moderation. Like, that's balance, you know, left, right? I guess so. I don't know. Okay, but he's saying it would be interesting to note if you did this, you know, whether you would feel a difference health-wise. I don't know. I've never been able to do this. I gave up trying. This we know today to be medically true. You should not. If you have a heavy meal, you should not go to sleep soon after you have a heavy meal, because the body does not digest as well once you're sleeping. It's not healthy for you. So toxins stay in your body. Who needed to hear that, Levi? Person should not sleep during the day. If what this means, by the way, is that if a healthy time to go to sleep is at night, is 11 o'clock or 12, whatever it is, you should not be eating a heavy meal at 11 o'clock at night. Not healthy for you. You should eat at 7 or 8 o'clock at night and then allow yourself some time when you don't have heavy food. Okay, now this we started talking about last week. There's an idea that you're not supposed to keep the schmutz, the stuff that's digested, that's ready to be expelled from the body, in your body. And therefore, eating in such a way that it's easy to remove the excess from your body is healthy. I'm just going to read these through. We're not going to get into discussions about them, but they're good to be aware of. There are certain things that cause a certain diarrhea, in other words, a flow in the intestines. Kigona navim, like grapes, vitainim, vitutim, vagasim, vavatichim, uminea kishui, minem lafonot. There are certain types of cucumbers, strawberries, dates, grapes, pears. These are all things that cause you to have looser bowel movements, and therefore it's easier to expel these things from the body. You get rid of the schmutz, which is a healthy thing to do in general. We talked about that last week, right? Ochel otam adam betchila kodem achila. You eat these things before you eat your heavy meal. Because what happens then is that they get into the intestinal system, they make it easy to digest everything else. V'lo yarvim mamazon, but you shouldn't eat them with the food. You don't eat grapes in the middle of the meal. Ela shohem ma'at ad sheyetzu mibetin alyon. You have to wait a little bit. You have your grapes, or you have your strawberries, or whatever it is, right? And you let them sort of digest a little, and then you have your heavy meal, right? Udvarim shem me'amtzin et bnei me'ayim, and things that that cause the intestines to work harder. In other words, they constipate you, like rimonim, pomegranates, chlishim, tapuchim, right? Apples, whatever, pears. Ochel otan techef lemezono. You actually eat them immediately after your meal. V'lo yarbel echol mehen. In other words, let everything else be digested first, and then these things come at the end. And he has a whole list of what to eat and how not to eat. If you want to eat chicken and meat, like you're at a barbecue, and there's chicken strips and there's meat, you don't all mix them all up. What do you eat first? You want to take a guess?
Chicken,
because chicken is lighter. And you're going to see his rule is whatever's lighter, that's what you eat first. First you eat the chicken meat. If you have eggs and chicken meat, you eat the eggs first. Right? If you have meat from lighter animals like lamb and heavier animals like cow, you eat the lighter animal first. Le'olam yakdim adam dvar hakal u'me'achar hakaved. A person should first eat what's light, easier to digest, and then go to the heavy. By the way, that is a rule for life. Think about how we structure the day in our Raita. We start with Rambam, and then we get into heavy Chiddush and Gemara. Because it's good to first bring things into your system. You know, you meet somebody and you have to have a heavy conversation, right? Start with the light stuff first. How you doing? How are you? Before you get into the heavy. That's a general rule for life. Okay? B'yemot ha'chama, now the Rambam here goes into a whole discussion about the difference between how you eat in the winter and how you eat in the summer. Right? As a rule, contrast, nigudim, are not so healthy. Right? So if it's a really, really hot day, okay, you shouldn't, and your body is warm, you want to cool your body off. But you don't want to do it to such an extreme degree. So, b'yemot ha'chama, ochel ma'achalim karim. Eat cooler foods on hot days, right? V'lo yarbe b'tvalim, you don't have a lot of spices. V'ochel tachometz, right? You can eat, you can use vinegar, it helps it to go down, whatever. U'b'yemot ha'gshamim, ochel ma'achalim ha'chamim. And on rainy days, in other words, in the winter, that's when you eat hot foods, right? You don't have hot soup in the summer. Right, he believes that a person should have less spicy foods. Halacha tet.
Yes.
Pardon? No, warm, like hot, like soup. Spicy food is charif. Okay. And the same is true for cold places. Like if you're in Alaska, right? So in Alaska, you have cooler food in the, warmer food because it's cold there. Yesh machalot shehim ra'im biyoter ad me'od. This is something to be aware of. There are foods that the Rambam says are so unhealthy that if you eat them, they will cause you illness. V'ra'ui la'adam shalo la'achlan la'olam. And it's better never to eat these foods. Kegon hadagim hagdolim. No, that's a different, that's a higher madrega. They say that the sudas livyasan, when one day when the Mashiach comes, we'll have a big suda, it'll all be chocolate spread, that's it. Kegon hadagim hagdolim, like big fish, hamluchim hayishanim, salted, heavy, old cheeses that are you know, not like hard cheeses, right? Not good for you. Mushrooms, salted meat. No South Africans say this. South Africans eat this disgusting meat. It's this like sour, salted strips of meat called, I think it's called burvus. It's like a jerky type meat. I was once at a Shabbaton in Johannesburg, and we Rav Aaron and I were there, and we were doing this program. And Friday night, you know, we finished davening, we finished eating, then we had an oneg. At the end of the oneg, it's like 12:30 at night, sitting up, talking, asking questions, whatever. And they bring out, it looks like a dugout canoe. Okay, it was like the length of this table, huge thing, like a trowel. And they put it on the table, and I look inside, and it's meat. At like 12:30 at night. I look at them and say, you guys are kidding me. He goes, no, man, this is Budapest. You must have. It's great. It's unbelievable, eh? And within 10 minutes, it was gone, right? The Rambam would have had a fit. Anyway, not the way to eat, right?
Did you eat it?
Pardon?
Did you eat it?
So I tried a piece because they wanted me to try a piece. It was horrendous. Anyway, foods that are bitter, very bitter, or they have bad smells, the Rambam says, you shouldn't eat. Now, most of us don't need to be told this, but nonetheless, it's good to be aware of. Hare elu laguf kmo sama mavet. These types of foods, they're like poison to the body.
Most things that just smell bad to you, look bad to you.
Well, nobody ever got in trouble because he didn't eat food that smelled bad, so that'd be my advice. If you're starving in a desert island, you're stuck. Pardon? Oh, okay, well, there is, by the way, not in the Rambam here, but there is an idea in Sefer, what's it called? Kabbalah Saguf, I think it's called. That Sefer in Kabbalah and the body and how it represents, says that Hashem gives every person Ritzonot. Hashem gives you your desires and you have to follow your desires because that's your purpose. And when there's something that's abhorrent to you, it's because your neshama doesn't mix with that and you should trust that. So if you find something that says you shouldn't eat it, right? Yesh machalot shein rain. There are some foods that are bad, but they're not as bad as those other things. And these things you can eat, but don't eat too much. And only once in a while. You shouldn't get in the habit that this is your food. You shouldn't survive on this type of food. Like big fish, cheeses, even if they're not hard. Milk that has sort of sat for after being milked at least 24 hours before they had refrigeration. The meat of big animals and big rams, beans and leeks, barley bread. Barley bread, it's interesting, is very tough on the digestive system. Cabbage, onions, garlic, right? These types of food. And you can look up in Perek Daled, you don't need me for this now. These are all bad foods. You shouldn't eat these except very rarely and only in the winter. Don't be eating, right? No garlic in the summer, not healthy for you. By the way, bear in mind that what's amazing about this is that the Rambam is going to get into all of the halacha, right? Hilchos Tefillah, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus. But he starts off all of Sefer Amada. Basically, we're still at the beginning of his whole halachic work. And he's saying, listen, here's what you should eat. Like, if you don't eat healthy, if you don't find moderation in your diet, it's going to affect the way you live. It's going to affect the way you behave. And then he's got three levels. Food that's so terrible you should never eat. Food that's bad you should only eat once in a while. And food that's not good for you, but it's not the end of the world. Waterfowl, small pigeons, tamarim are dates, I think. Right? The lechem. Pardon? Don't eat small pigeons. I don't know, I'm not a big pigeon fan. He doesn't seem to say big pigeons are as much of a problem. This may be, by the way, there are all sorts of reasons for this. I said I'm not going to get into like the whole diet. Don't ask. They go see your shiur room. It's to be immersed in Sifrei Torah. It's unbelievable, right? There are all sorts of underlying ideas here. Like, for example, if an animal is very small, if a bird is small, the digestive system gets into the body, and how does that affect what you eat? Like that, we're not going to get into the details, but you know, you can explore these things if you want. Lechem kalui b'shem, pardon?
So does that include all small birds or small pigeons?
Small pigeons. He's specifically talking about pigeons, right? Now, this is interesting, right? One of the things that's unhealthy for you, the Rambam says, in Halacha Yud, is on page 73, right? Hasolet shenipur takol tzarka, okay? A flour that has been totally sifted through. Ad shaloni sharaba reach merusan. There's no bran left. What is that? White flour. This is white flour. White flour. Right. The Rambam is saying that white flour is unhealthy for you. This is amazing. This is 1,000 years ago. Right? This is a big thing now. They've discovered that white flour is really unhealthy for you. You should know it's just healthier to eat because it's very processed. It removes all the vitamins. It's very bad for your digestive system. Much, much healthier. Shlomit can give you a lecture on this. Much healthier to eat whole wheat. Ein ra'ui l'arbot ma'achalot elu. So a person shouldn't have too much of this type of food. V'adam shu chacham v'kovesh et Yitzro. And the person who is smart and who is kovesh his yetzer, he overcomes his desires. V'lo yimashech achar tavato. Excuse me. And he isn't drawn. His desires don't lead him, but he chooses to lead his desires, right? V'lo yochal min hanizkarim klum. And he doesn't eat from all these things. Elaim mitzrach, unless he really needs it, lahem l'refuah, like if he, you know, if somebody tells you you need white flour because for some reason it's healthy to you. Harei zeh gibor. This is a gibor. Now that's an interesting term, right? Why is such a person a gibor? What does a gibor mean?
Man of strength.
Like a gever, a man of strength, right? So we normally think of man of strength. Like, you know, recently I heard in the news that the strongest man in the world, who was 107, he had been in the 1920s on Coney Island, the strongest man in the world. He lifted like 8 times his weight. He was a whole, there was a write-up in him in the Post. And he died of 100 at 107 somewhere in New Jersey. And so they were talking about him. You know, it was one of those human interest stories. And that's how we usually think of a person who's strong. You know, like I'll arm wrestle with you. The Rambam says real strength is in how you control, you know, your desires, your emotions. If you can conquer, if you can direct your yetzer, your desires, as opposed to your desires directing you, that's true strength. And that's exactly what's going on here. Finding balance in what you eat, directing yourself, it's just a healthy thing to do, and that's vura. Okay? I have time for one more halacha, one more halacha. Le'olam yimna adam atzmo mimperot ha'ilanot. You shouldn't eat too much fruit. Eating too much fruit is not healthy. That's what the Rambam says. Ve'lo yarbe mehen. And you shouldn't have too much of them. You know, there's some who recommend that between 1 to 2 fruits a day is the maximum you should have. That's usually what I do, right?
The food pyramids is like 3 to 4 portions of fruits and 3 to 4 vegetables.
Well, I don't know what a portion is, but a big apple once a day is healthy. If people have 4 or 5 fruits a day, the Rambam says it's not healthy. You could debate whether this.
I think it's got 5 different colors.
Pardon? Yeah, they're also. I'm just telling what the Rambam says. I told you, we're not going to get into. One of the questions, if you remember at the beginning, is does this jive with modern medicine, and what do you do when it doesn't, and how does that work? Like, if a doctor today tells you, no, you should do something differently, then you should listen to a doctor today. And the Rambam will be the first to say that. But having said that, it's interesting to see what the Rambam says, right? She says a person shouldn't have too much of the fruit. By the way, I also realize that fruit today are treated in ways that they didn't have back then. Like, there were all sorts of diseases that foodstuffs carried back then. There was such a thing as the FDA. So it could be that also was part of the reason. I don't know. Because they're sitting out on trees. It could be that there are other things going on. I don't know. In fact, they believe that the Black Death in the Middle Ages was actually spread by fruit. There's one opinion. There are 2 or 3 opinions. One is that it was rats, right? But that fruits would fall from the trees, and that the rats would eat them, and they would pick up disease, and there's just the whole idea that perhaps it was spread by fruit. Anyway, on the other hand, scurvy was cured on ships by eating fruit. So that's a whole interesting question. But anyway, v'lo yarbe mehen v'afilu yaveshin v'ein tzarich lomar rutubim. And you shouldn't have too much fruit, even if they're dry, and obviously not if they're wet. Aval kodem shid bashlu kol tzarchan, harei ze kecharavot laguf. Eating fruit that isn't ripe yet is like putting swords in your body. That's clear. You should never eat fruit that's not ripe yet. It's not healthy for you, right? It causes all sorts of digestive problems. That's true today. Carobs are not good for you, okay? Pickled fruits. They used to pickle fruits. Don't ask. Yeah, ooh would be a good word. Ra'im, bad. Don't do that. But if you have to, only eat them in the summertime, only in hot places. They are navim ve'ashkedim. Now, tamarim are dates, so tenim are figs, right? Figs, grapes, and almonds. Le'olam tovim, those are always good. By the way, you should know that almonds have a property that reduces appetite. If you carry with you like 10 or 11 almonds, and you eat them throughout the day, you'll eat less. That's just baduk. Pardon?
That's Misha's secret.
Oh, is that Misha's secret? Yeah, he eats almonds? Okay.
A bit more than
10
or 11, though.
Eat as much as you want. So lo yatmid achilatam, but you shouldn't constantly eat them. Afo pishem tovim yikol priya ilenot. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. We'll do a few more tomorrow. Actually, we can do... We have a minute. The advash ve'ayayin. Now, this is an important halacha for you guys. Honey and wine.
Yeah, we have a big problem with honey.
Right, honey's a problem, right? Ra lektanim v'yafel eskenim. These are bad for the youngsters and good for the old. I'm going to leave you to define yourselves. The kol shekin b'yimot ha'kshamim, and certainly in the winter. V'tzarich adam lechol b'yimot ha'chama shnei shlishim, mashu ochel b'yimot ha'kshamim. In other words, have two-thirds as much honey in the summer as you do in the winter. And of course, that's true for wine. But wine is bad for you if you're young, it's good for you if you're old, yeah? When? In general, in the winter, the body needs more energy because it needs to keep itself warm. That's baduk. If you're not eating enough, you'll get colder. And when you get colder, for all sorts of reasons, that leads you to sickness and health. There's a big debate today in the modern medical world whether when the Rambam was writing, well, it's not clear what pieces. Most of the Mishnah Torah was written in a cave outside of Cordoba, and he was in hiding from the Almohades. Leolam yishtadel adam shiyu me'av rafin kol yamav, v'ye karov l'shulshul me'at. In other words, when a person, this is by the way very important, when you go to the bathroom, if you find that it's very, very hard to do your what you need to do, that's not healthy. That's a sign that you're not having enough liquids in your diet, you're not eating enough of the types of food that cause your bowel movement to be loose. On the other hand, if you find that every time you go to the bathroom, it's totally loose and shilshul, diarrhea, that's also not healthy. You have to find balance in all things. And if you see, you're supposed to have a certain amount of water. They suggest that a person should start their day with 1 to 2 cups of water. And when you go to the bathroom, if you find that it's a hard bowel movement, then that means you're not drinking enough. You're not eating fruits that don't eat a lot of apples. Eat applesauce, you know, find ways to do it. But really, it should always be loose. V'zeh klal gadol b'refuah. The Rambam says this is a big rule in medicine. Kol zman she'ari'i nimna o yotzei b'koshi. Whenever the excrement is you can't get it out, or it comes out very difficult, a constipation, chala'im ra'im ba'im. Then a person will get diseases. That's true. There are all sorts of toxins that are released into the system if a person's waste stays in their body too long. And therefore, if you can't release your waste, that's very, very unhealthy. And how does a person sort of release the excrement if you try? So he's got his suggestions here. If you're young, you take these kind of cresses, shlukim metubalim in olive oil, with below pot with no bread. So it's very unhealthy to eat bread when you're constipated. Or you can drink, you can boil spinach or cabbage in water and drink the boiled water from spinach and cabbage. This is like an old recipe that actually works. It's interesting. And if you're an old person, so then you drink honey with hot water in the morning. By the way, hot water, if you drink hot water, if it's not boiling, but hot water before a meal, it's basically like anything else. Like imagine you go to the cupboard and you have a dish and it's a little greasy. So what do? You wash it with hot water. Why? Because you want that grease in your system. So if you wash out your body, it's like you're cleaning out all your tubes before you eat. You get rid of the schmutz with hot water. It's a very healthy thing to do. Right? And let's get to the last one. Halacha yudalin. V'yasekin yom echad or shlosha or arba yamim. And you do this for a day or 3-4 days if you need, until your bowel movements get looser. Last halacha yudalin. Then we'll get to tedvav, which is more disgusting tomorrow. More to discuss, tomorrow. The od klal acher amru b'bruyut aguf, another rule in terms of being healthy. Kol zman she'adam mit'amel v'yageh harbei. As long as a person exercises a lot, ve'eino saveh, and he's not full, he doesn't eat till he's full, u'me'av rafin, and his bowels are loose, ein choli bala v'kocho mitchazek. He doesn't get sick, and he constantly feels that he's got good energy. You ever wake up and you have a certain day, you just feel like you have a lot of good energy, and some days you're just like exhausted? So he says there's a recipe for this. There are three things you have to do. You have to do enough exercise. You have to make sure you don't eat till you're full. Don't walk around full. And you have to keep your bowel movements loose. If you do those three things, you won't get sick. Even if you eat bad stuff, if you do these three things, you won't get sick. Something to think about. All right. Tomorrow we'll get to Halacha Tetzvav. I hope that we will finish Perek Dalet this week. This has been brought to you by, right? I'm sorry?